Hi, this is David. If you've ever thought about starting a small business, it seems like the to-do list is never-ending. But Shopify simplifies a lot of it. They're the commerce platform behind millions of businesses around the world, and 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., from household names like Mattel and Gymshark to brands just getting started. Shopify has hundreds of ready-to-use templates that help you build a beautiful online store to match your brand's style. And they are packed with helpful AI tools that write product descriptions, page headlines, and even enhance your product photography. It's like you have a full marketing team behind you. You'll easily create email and social media campaigns wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling. And best yet, Shopify has world-class expertise in everything from managing inventory and international shipping to processing returns and beyond. If you're ready to sell, you're ready for Shopify. Turn your big business idea into with Shopify on your side. Sign up for your $1 per month trial and start selling today at shopify.com/inspirational. Go to shopify.com/inspirational. shopify.com/inspirational. Welcome to Our Sunday Talks, an exclusive series for the patrons of the Inspirational Living Podcast. Today's talk was edited and adapted from Weekday Religion by James Russell Miller, published in 1880. Every hour there are partings, thought to be only temporary, which proved to be forever. One morning a young man bade his wife and child goodbye and went out to his work. There was an accident on the street, and before midday his lifeless body was borne back to his home. It was a terrible shock, but there was one sweet comfort that came with wondrous power to the crushed heart of the young wife. The last hour they had spent together had been one of peculiar tenderness. Not a word had been spoken by either that she could wish had not been spoken. She had not dreamed at the time that it would be their last conversation. And yet there was nothing in it that left one painful recollection, now that she should meet her husband no more. Through all the following years of loneliness and widowhood, the memory of that last parting was an abiding joy in her life, like a fragrant perfume or a bright lamp of holy peace. Life is very critical. Any word may be our last. Any farewell, even amid glee and merriment, may be forever. If this truth were but burned into our consciousness, if it ruled as a deep conviction and had real power in our lives, would it not give a new meaning to all our human relationships? Would it not make us far more tender than we sometimes are? Would it not oftentimes put a rein on our rash and impetuous speech? Would we carry in our hearts the miserable suspicions and jealousies that now so often embitter the fountains of our loves? Would we be so impatient of the faults of others? Would we allow trivial misunderstandings to build up strong walls between us and those whom we ought to hold very close to us? Would we keep alive petty quarrels year after year? Would we pass neighbors or old friends on the street without recognition because of some real or fancied slight, some wounding of pride or some supposed injury? Or would we be so sparing with our kind words, our commendations, our sympathy, our words of comfort, when weary hearts all around us are breaking for just such expressions of interest, appreciation, and helpfulness as we have it in our power to give? We all know how kindly it makes us feel toward anyone to sit beside their deathbed. We are spending our last hour with them. We would not utter a harsh word or cherish a single grudge against them for the world. There will never be a future opportunity to recall any words spoken now, or to obliterate any painful impression made. We can never again give joy to this heart that is so soon to stop its beating. What a softening influence this thought has. All our coldness melts down before the eyes that have death's faraway look in them. All the long frozen, kindly sentiment in our hearts toward our friend is thawed out as we hold our last conversation with them. Then we all know, too, how slumbering love awakes, and cold spirits warm, and all the chill of selfishness dissolves beside the coffin of one who is dead. Everyone feels kindly then. Not a trace of grudging or bitterness lingers in any heart. Slights and wrongs are forgiven and forgotten. Icy winter changes to mellow summer. Loving words of gratitude or appreciation flow from every tongue. Praise and commendation never spoken, when the weary spirit needed them so much, find free expression when the heavy ear can hear them no more. How it would bless and beautify our lives if we could carry that same thoughtful, grateful, patient, forgiving, loving spirit into our everyday interactions with each other. If we could treat people with the same gentle consideration, with the same frank, genuine sincerity as when we sit by their deathbed. If we could only bring the post-mortem appreciation, gratitude, charity, and unselfish kindliness back into the vexed and overburdened years of actual toilsome life. It would be impossible to live otherwise if we but realized that any hour's conversation with another might indeed be the last. If you truly felt that you might be spending your last day with your family, taking your last meal with them, enjoying the last evening with them, would not your heart be cleansed of all harshness, bitterness, and selfishness? Would not your feelings, your very tone, be charged with almost a divine tenderness? If a parent felt that today might be the last that they would have their child with them, would they be so impatient of its endless questions, so easily annoyed by its restless activities, so fretted and vexed by its faults and thoughtless ways? Would we be so exacting, so calculating, so cold and formal, so undemonstrative, so selfish in our interactions with our friends, if we truly felt that today's sunset might be the last we should behold, or that we should never meet our friends again? Would not the realization of this ever-imminent possibility act as a mighty restraint on all that is harsh or unloving in us, and as a powerful inspiration to bring out all that is kindly and tender? With many a lonely heart, regret does indeed walk night and day because of the memory of unkind words spoken, which can never be unspoken, since the ears that heard them are deaf to every sound of earth. Friends have separated with sharp words due to some trivial difference and have never met again. Death has come suddenly to one of them, or life has set their feet in paths divergent from that moment. Many a bitter and unavailing tear is shed over the grave of a departed one by someone who would give worlds for a single moment in which to beg forgiveness or seek to make reparation. So uncertain is life, and so manifold are the vicissitudes of human experience, that any leave-taking may be forever. We are never sure of an opportunity to unsay the angry word, or draw out the thorn we left rankling in another's heart. The kindness which we felt prompted to do today, but neglected or deferred, we may never be able to perform. The only way, therefore, to save ourselves from unavailing sorrow and regret is to let love always rule in our hearts and control our speech. If we should, in a thoughtless moment, speak unadvisedly, giving pain to another party, let reparation be made upon the spot. The sun should never go down upon our wrath. We should never leave anything overnight that we would not be willing to leave finally and forever just in that shape. Life's actions do not appear to us in the same colors, when viewed in the noontide glare versus the evening's twilight. Little things in our treatment of others, which at the time under the cross lights of rivalry or in the excitement of business and social life do not seem wrong, when seen from the shadows of final separation or great grief, fill us with shame and regret. This afterview is by far the truest. Afterthoughts are the wiser thoughts. We get the most faithful representation of life in retrospect. The things we regret in such an hour are things we ought not to have done. The things we wish then we had done are things we ought to have done. There can be no better test of life's actions than the question, how will this appear when I look back upon it from the end? Will it give me pleasure or pain? We all want to have beautiful endings to our lives. We want to leave sweet memories behind in the hearts of those who know and love us. We want our names to be fragrant in the homes where our footfalls will no longer be heard. We want the memory of our last parting with our friends to live as a tender joy with them as the days pass away. We want, if we should stand by a friend's coffin tomorrow, to have the consciousness that we have done nothing to embitter their life, to add to their burdens, or to tarnish their soul, and that we have left nothing undone which it lay in our power to do, to help them, or to give them comfort or cheer. We can make sure of this only by living always in such a way that any day would make a tender and beautiful last day, that any hand grasp would be a fitting farewell, that any hour's conversation with friend or neighbor would leave a fragrant memory, and that no treatment of another would leave a regret or cause a pang if death or space should divide us forever. For after any heartbeat, any sentence, any goodbye, God may write, Fini.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.